Ladies and gentlemen, please find in your Bibles this morning in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 38. Today's scripture is from verses 38 to 42. Allow me to read that for you. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away." Father, we pray that you would illuminate our hearts, teach us through your word, and make us the kind of disciples that you would have us to be. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. We had the scripture a couple of weeks ago. The last time we were together, we got started on these verses by discussing the proper interpretation and application of the scriptural principle of an eye for an eye. That was how we spent our time last time we were together. And we explored what the Word of God has to say about the role of the civil authority, and that is to punish the evildoer and to protect the innocent. Okay, civil authorities from the local level on up are ordained by God in order to do what? In order to put a restraint, to put a curb on wickedness. That's what they're there for. And the Spirit of God tells us in the Scriptures that if you want to not be afraid of the authorities, then don't be wicked. Okay, it's pretty straightforward. You might notice how that element seems to be getting left out of the public conversation lately, things that you hear in the news about people protesting the police. Somehow it fails to get mentioned that most of these fellows who end up on the wrong side of the police are evildoers. They are evildoers. They are people with criminal records and criminal intent. And I wonder why that doesn't get brought up. You know, isn't that relevant to the incident? There needs to be justice in our society for the sake of everybody. Okay, there needs to be law enforcement in order to preserve a reasonably safe and stable society. What's the alternative? It's unrestrained every man for himself and criminals on the loose, which is, if you pay attention to what's happening, for example, in Chicago and Detroit, just to name two, you'll see it happening quite openly in big cities where, in neighborhoods in particular, where it's been made very clear to the police that your presence is not welcome here. If there is no rule of law, then communities and societies degrade into chaos for everybody and danger for everybody. The scripture says, when the sentence for a crime isn't carried out, the heart of a man becomes set within him to do evil. Okay? So if you don't, the scripture says, if you don't want to be on the wrong side of the authorities, don't be wicked. The wicked should fear because the authority has both the right and the responsibility to keep the peace and protect people and their property. So, Christians, for your own sake, support your local police. And I would also say, vote for people who will uphold the rule of law rather than undermine the rule of law. That's last time. Okay. Having said that, we turn to the Lord's teaching for those of us who are his disciples. The principle of retaliation or retribution, you see, has a place in the structure of society. And unfortunately, that's a necessity because of the real presence of evil in the society. But Jesus has something for us, my friends, that is far better than justice. Here is most clearly, I believe, where the Christian life and the Christian teaching parts ways with every other philosophy that you hear in the world. Every philosophy and system of ethics that's devised by man differs from the teaching of our Lord Jesus. And we really do need to sit at the Lord's feet and pay careful attention and take in what he's about to tell us here. We just prayed, "Thy will be done on earth." So if we're going to pray that, we need to do his will, yes? So what we have in these verses here, then, is the essence of the Christian disposition. Okay, the man or woman who is a disciple of Jesus chooses, you see, chooses to hold a certain view regarding his or her personal rights and freedoms, a view which is radically different from the view that's held by society at large. Now, here we're Americans, right? We live in this country that is steeped in the language of rights and freedoms. Okay, those are our founding documents, certain inalienable rights. Inalienable means it's wrong to take away these rights from anybody. Okay, they are among these rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We have a Bill of Rights. We have civil rights. We have human rights. It is self-evident, is it not, that these rights exist? Okay, self-evident means it's obvious. It should be obvious to anybody with a brain that these rights exist and that you can't take them away. They shouldn't be infringed. Okay, the Declaration of Independence says that it's to secure these rights that men institute governments, which is what we talked about. Okay, we're used to saying things like this is a free country and I have my rights and so on. Okay, we're very familiar with the concept of having rights and seeing to it that those rights are upheld. The fact of life remains, however, that in spite of the best intentions, countless instances in our lives, people are going to be infringing on our rights. Okay, and look at the next couple of verses for some examples. 39, 40, and 41, you see that the Lord addresses a couple of categories of offenses against your rights. Offenses on your person, offenses upon your property, and offenses upon your liberty or your dignity. Okay, 39, someone strikes you in the face. Verse 40, someone sues you for your goods. And verse 41, somebody commandeers you for a compulsory service. Okay, and 42, I'd like to actually say 42 for another time because it's a little bit different. It's in the same vein but different because it's not hostile. All right, the first three are hostile. Verse 42, yes, somebody asks you, somebody wants to borrow from you. Yes, they're imposing on you in a certain way, but you have a choice. You know, you can say yes or no. You can decline them if you want, whereas in the first three, verse 39, 40, 41, you don't have any choice. Something gets done to you. You do have this choice. How are you going to respond? You can talk about rights until you're blue in the face. Okay, or red, white, and blue in the face, right? But the reality is that people will frequently be infringing on your rights and on your dignity. Well, then what? What when they do? What's the way of the master? Okay, now Christians, I have to ask you again, are we going to learn from the master? Are we going to obey him or are we going to disobey him? Are we going to do his will? Then, okay, let's see what does he say? He says, do not resist an evil person. Okay, so let's look at these three cases. Now the first one is if someone strikes you on the right cheek, what are you to do? You're to turn to him the other also. Okay, now obviously here we're talking about a hostile blow. We're talking about a slap in the face, possibly even a punch. Now, I think we all grew up, right? You have siblings, I assume, most of you. If you have a sibling, I think you know the feeling of when you are struck, you strike back. If you grew up wherever on a playground, you know, and there was a fight over something or other and push comes to shove, you know that the first impulse is to hit back. If you ever were provoked to anger in an argument, say in the office or, you know, at the ball field or over a car accident, right, little fender bender, people get hot, squabble with a neighbor, a bully, something like that. Okay, you know the urge. I know the urge, and the urge is to do harm. Okay, when push comes to shove, you shove back. That just seems right, right? Isn't that justice? Okay, it seems right that the score be even. You scored one on me, I'm going to score one on you. Okay, and what would happen is that the society very likely will justify you. Okay, he started it. It's almost a legitimate excuse, isn't it? Okay, it's reason enough. He threw the first punch, so I taught him a lesson. Matter of fact, somebody who wants to pick a fight with you will say, here, you take the first shot. You know, give me an excuse, right? That's what, give me an excuse. So the unspoken thing is, if the person hits you first, you have an excuse to hit them as much as you can. Okay? To the world, that is legitimate. That's legitimate in the eyes of the world. It's not legitimate to God. Okay? What is highly esteemed among men is what? An abomination in the sight of God. The will of God, you see here, turn the other cheek. Okay, you hit me this side, I got another side. Now, your first reaction to that, very likely, is that's insane. Okay, my goodness, are you, if that's your first reaction, you are in numerous company. And numerous meaning everybody in the world, probably. The Lord's ways simply are not our ways. I don't have to remind you of that the passage of Scripture, okay? That my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And I think this is one of those thoughts of God, or ways of God, that is so much higher than our ways that we're not even sure we heard him right. It's so alien to us, we have a hard time even fitting it into our way of thinking. Surely Jesus is not saying that you need to set yourself up for another hit. Okay, our natural mind recoils from that. What you are, you're not going to let them get away with that. You're going to let them walk all over you. What about your honor? What about justice? Don't there have to be some consequences for him injuring you? Don't there? Okay, if you don't fight back, I think in my mind it's the most reasonable one. If you don't fight back, he's just going to do it again. Don't we reason that way? Okay, I have to prevent this from happening again, so I will have to teach him a lesson, or at least try to teach him. You know, even if he wins, you know, at least have to try, have to put up resistance. Well, there's that word, resistance. If you turn the other cheek, all you're doing is, you know, you're inviting him to hit you again. Yes, you are. That is the very point of our Lord. You have another cheek, and it might happen again. Think about logically, you know, if you knew there was no, you know, if you knew he was not going to hit you again, then what is the merit? What is the bravery? What's strange about turning the other cheek? Okay, obviously that is the Lord's very point. You might get hit again. Okay, maybe you won't. Maybe you don't make such an impression on the person that, okay, but very well you possibly could. Well, that's stupid. Maybe it is to you. But I would remind you what the Lord says about foolishness and wisdom. And your homework, if you would like to have some homework, is to go and study well the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where he says that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of this world. It's far wiser. Now, friends, everything about the Lord's ways is foolish to the world. Okay, if this seems like a foolishness to you, that should be no surprise, because we all are products of this world until we receive the mind of Christ, right? So we reason, naturally, we reason the way the world reasons, that's foolish. Yeah, everything that the Lord says is foolishness to the world. The cross is foolish. The plan of redemption is foolishness. Turn the other cheek is foolishness. Okay, the whole Christian ethic is foolishness to the world. Forgiveness and repentance and self-denial, that's dumb, okay? But the Word of God says it pleased God by that foolishness to save those who believe. Okay, he says, I will frustrate the wisdom of the wise. The wisdom of the wise says, save yourself by your own hand. It says, stick up for yourself. It says, take matters into your own hands. The Lord, however, says, put away your sword, Peter. Right? Those who live by the sword will die by the sword. Well, that doesn't make any sense at all. Here's this hostile mob. Lord, if I put away my sword, Lord, if I turn the other cheek, the evildoer is going to win. Don't you see? He'll win the day, and we can't have that. Oh, but put away your sword, Peter. this is a hard teaching, Lord Jesus. Well, there it is, though. Yes, it's a hard teaching, but that's the teaching. Did I not say, your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes? Okay, to the Pharisees and the scribes, an eye for an eye. That's righteous enough, okay? What got paid out gets repaid in full. Everything's even, okay? But the Lord's way is not that way. And I have to ask you this. To whom else are we going to go if we don't like this? You either follow the Lord Jesus on this or you don't. But if you don't, where else are you going to go? These are the words of eternal life. If any man would come after me, let him what? Deny himself, die to himself, take up his cross and follow me. Let's consider the other two also. Okay, they both have something to contribute to our understanding. And the second one says, if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. Okay, that's the inner garment and the outer garment. So it'd be like shirt and coat kind of thing. Okay, so even though you are even though you're treating me unjustly, and you're taking advantage of me, and it is within my rights to defend what's mine and keep what's mine. Don't I have that right as a citizen? Even though it's within my rights, I can concede it's just material things. And in fact, not only concede, I am willing to double it. Okay, take my coat too, and Lord willing, it will keep you warm. Again, most people are going to say, you've got to be joking. Okay, there's no way. That is because most people, and let's just confess, you and I think this way too, we think exclusively in terms of the things of this present life. We work hard to earn these things. We work hard to earn the money to pay for these things, and there are things. We certainly don't go chucking them away for no reason. We certainly don't wish to have them taken away from us. You know, if I owe you something, okay, fair's fair, that's one thing. You know, I don't mind paying you what I owe you, but this is not fair. All right, we're forced to give something up. Well, fine, even if I'm forced to give something up, let me give the very minimum that's being forced out of me. You would never think to give voluntarily something further that wasn't even demanded. Okay, or do you? To do something like this, Christians, I think this is really literally, well, not literally, figuratively, it's to put your money where your mouth is. Right? You say, my treasure is in heaven. Well, we'll find out, I guess, won't we, when people actually come to take your treasures that are here on earth. Okay, you say a man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of his possessions. You say money isn't everything, but when somebody threatens to take that thing that you just said isn't everything, okay, at best you might pay them what they demand. But as for the rest of it, you know, you cling dearly to what's left. You would never think to get your wallet out and slap another, you know, $100 on top of it, would you? No. Okay. Now, again, somebody here is thinking, oh, well, you know, how quaint this all is. You know, look at these people and their silly and naive idealism. I'd like to see somebody do that in real life, you know. Well, guess what? It does happen. It can happen only if the heart of a man has been changed. Okay? Only if the mind has been changed. This is why it's called a new life. It's a new life. It's not like the old life. It has a whole different set of values that flow out of the fact that God himself has come to dwell in a person's inner man. People are changed, and people must change. If you're following the Lord Jesus, you must change. The scripture says not to be conformed to what? To the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, there is a heart renovation that has to take place. And you see how it is when it comes to the things you hold dear in your natural man, and now you have something that's new that you hold more dear, you have to be made new. Understand? Until that takes place, this is absurd. It's ridiculous. Okay? It's get what I can and keep what's mine. Okay, if I want to give you something, well, then I'll give you something on my terms. I'll give it to you according to my own free will. Okay, but I'm not going to let you just take stuff from me. Okay, well, the kingdom of God, Jesus says, is like the pearl of great price. What does that parable mean? It means that everything else, by comparison, fades away into insignificance. It's worth selling it all in order to gain this. Okay, things that are greater than this, things that are higher, these have allured my sight. Okay, look, Christians, that's the challenge. You have a choice. You don't have a choice as to how people treat you. You do have a choice what you do by way of response. And the Christian way begins with rejoicing in the riches of Jesus Christ far more than in the items of this world. And, you know, as long as we're stuck on possessions, we don't have the mind of Christ very much, do we? And that's why Paul gets grouchy in 1 Corinthians 6 and says to them, I can't believe you're taking each other to court. That's a complete failure. You know, that's disaster. Now, you obviously, Corinthians, if you're suing each other over material things, you're obviously still stuck on the values of the world. You're still carnal. Why not rather be wronged? That's a powerful verse. Why not rather be cheated? It's better for you to be cheated than for you to air all your grievances with each other out in front of the unbelievers and show them by doing that your treasures really are on earth and not in heaven, like you said. Okay, Christians, you have a choice, and that is either to keep everything that's yours, which is just justice, right? Don't you have a right to keep what's yours? That's justice. Or to voluntarily yield what's being taken, even to go beyond by adding to it. Well, what's the testimony there? Okay, what do people see by that? They see that the things I own, they are in fact of less value to me than knowing Christ. And I don't even object, if need be, to sharing in the fellowship of his suffering. He himself suffered blows and insults, and he didn't respond in kind. Now, sometimes in our house, Judge Judy is on TV, okay? And my wife is a fan of Judge Judy, and I'm sure that the kinds of things that come up before Judge Judy and on all those other court shows are very typical of the kinds of things that show up before judges all across the nation, all across the world, where people bicker and combat each other over, you know, a share of the rent, the price of a plane ticket I bought for you, you didn't pay me back, your kid dented my car door, your dog bit me, something like that, okay? And there's the person over there who's making up reasons why it's not his responsibility to pay. And it's sad. Why does he not owe? And I think about the people in these cases and the idol that money is to them and possessions. And there's always bitterness and anger. And they always interview the people afterwards, and obviously the loser is always upset. And, you know, I'm glad there's judges. I don't know if I could be one. I think it would drive me up a wall, but I'm glad that there are people that settle those things because there needs to be justice. But just one time, I would love to see on the show the defendant say, you know what, Judge, I'm sorry that we wasted everybody's time here today, but can you just give the plaintiff the $2,000? In fact, make it three, and then we'll call it a day and everybody can go home happy because I just don't want to fight about this anymore. I found Jesus Christ, and I am so happy I cannot even stand to fight about this. So can we just call it a day? Okay, to give the cloak as well as the tunic, that sends a message. I wonder if that episode would air, you know? It sends this message. You may be doing me wrong, but I'm still not overcome by you, okay? I willingly yield. My ways are now no longer your ways. Now they're the Lord's ways. Okay, Judge Judy will give you justice. In fact, that's their slogan, right? You want justice, call Judge Judy. If you want something beyond justice, you must be born again. You must be. That's the only way. The third one, you see, it's verse 41. If someone compels you to go a mile, go 2 miles with him. And this is something that was happening then and happened all across the Roman Empire. What the Lord is referring to there is the practice of the Roman soldiers and the authorities to, including Israel and the territories they occupied, to commandeer any man. They could put a burden on you. Could just grab you out of your life. You're a passerby, put a burden on you, and make you carry it 1 mile. Okay? And, you know, they always had troops moving places. They had equipment moving places. They're building things, all kinds of stuff. There is an example of it in the Bible, and that is Simon of Cyrene. Right? He's minding his own business. He was coming in from the countryside. They haul him out of the crowd. Here, you carry this up there. And he had to. Okay? That's harsh. It's insulting. You know, it is an offense against your liberty, an offense against your dignity. Hey, what does the army think we are? We're just their pack animals that can just, you know, make you drop everything and interrupt your life and okay. One of the complaints in the Declaration of Independence was that King George would quarter the soldiers in people's private houses without their permission. Okay? And they're eating us out of house and home. In fact, they wrote it into the Constitution. It's your Third Amendment right. We never talk about the Third Amendment. It's your Third Amendment right not to have soldiers quartered in your house in time of peace. Now, maybe that'll never come up. But what if it does? Well, what if for some reason the government just decided to say, you know what, we're not going to honor this anymore. We're just going to, here, we're going to take your house, move out. You're going to have to find some other place. You know, we need this house for headquarters. Okay, what are you going to do? What choice did Simon of Cyrene have? What are you going to do, sue them? What good will that do? Okay, now, to me, carrying a backpack a mile sounds not too bad. You know, I always read this one and thought, oh, this is the easy one. You know, getting punched in the face is one thing, but carrying a backpack a mile, not too bad. What if it happens to you every week? You know, what if it happens to you 4 times in a day? What happens if you're an old man with a bad back? Okay, you don't have tough. Go. Here's the pack, you carry it over there. Okay, imagine if our government were to set up checkpoints every 20 miles on the interstate so that every time you traveled someplace, you had to keep getting pulled over and your car searched. Okay, imagine how aggravating and frustrating that will be. All right, you'd be hot. Well, that's first century Israel. Okay, constantly subject to, you know, having things expected, where's your paper, so on and so forth. Okay, it'd be very, very frustrating. Here again, you're not responsible for what people do to you. You are responsible for how you react. You remember there's one of the Lord's disciples is Simon the Zealot. You know what the Zealot, a Zealot is? The Zealots were an Israelite resistance party. Okay, they were trying to throw the Romans over. They hated them. They wanted them out. And they were in favor of armed revolt. Well, again, there's that word, the resistance. Okay? Think about how Simon would have to adjust his whole way of thinking as he walks with the Lord and hears things like this. He'd have to deal with a lot of strong personal feelings of resentment against the authorities, against the government. Okay? And those feelings die out in the first century? No. We may have them today. Okay, we have strong feelings sometimes of resentment against the authority. Okay, the point is not that necessarily somebody's going to put a pack on you and make you carry it a mile, but the point is you are being imposed upon and you have no choice. The authority does do things that gall you. To some people, it seems that the worst thing the government can ever possibly ask you to do is to go to jury duty. And some people avoid jury duty like, you know, it's a major offense to my personal dignity for you to haul me out of my life and make me go. Go, okay? Go and don't complain and do a good job, okay? In fact, justice in our country depends on it. So go and quit complaining and do a good job, okay? That's go the extra mile. Show up, smile, greet the other people, and try to have justice, okay? How do you feel about paying your property tax? Probably the same way as I feel. You wish you didn't have to. Grumble when you sign or write the check, all right? As Christians, we have very serious reflecting to do, I think, sometimes about how are we going to respond to the things that those who are more powerful than us do to us that irritate us and oppress us. Okay, today, just like back here with the zealots. You have people who are talking about revolution. Okay, it's no surprise, really. It's nothing new under the sun. How does the Lord want his people to be different? The zealots didn't win, I'll remind you. Okay, the Romans ended up crushing their revolt. Thousands of people, both the instigators and innocent people alike, lost their lives because the Israelites were not willing to bear the yoke that the Lord laid upon them. Okay, how did Simon fare? Simon was a changed man. Okay, he found a new way. He found eternal life. He found a different kind of deliverance, a different kind of salvation, didn't he? A different way to overcome evil. Not justice. Can't say that the Israelites got justice. Something that's beyond justice. Okay, maybe you could call it submission. I think there's a better word for it, but I couldn't come up with one. Something better than submission. You know, you can back down, you can submit, but do it not at all in the spirit that the Lord is talking about here, right? Maybe you have refrained from fighting back against a bully, something like that. But why did you really do it? Because you know that if you threw a punch, he really let you have it. Okay, so you back down. But that's not the same to back down out of fear, is it? Isn't it true that you know the only reason you didn't pop some guy in the nose was because you knew you would get arrested for it? You see what I'm saying? That's not the same. You pay your taxes, but the only reason you do is because you know if you don't, you're going to jail. Okay, you may do the right thing, but for the wrong reason. The hatred in your heart and the resentment against those who are more powerful than you, that can abide. Okay, you know if you were the bigger kid, things would not have come out this way. If you were the one with the authority and the weapons on your side, things would have been different. Okay, that there is the very same emotion that was in the heart of Cain. Okay, to harm, to injure, to prevail. Okay, to destroy. You just didn't have the means to act on it. You see the difference? So who is on the throne of your heart? Isn't it yourself? Don't you see? You have to be made new. If you're going to do what the Lord says here, you have to be made new. He himself desires to be on the throne of your heart. And his own words were, "Can I not call on my Father and he'll send me 12 legions of angels?" But he didn't make that call. He went to the cross. Today, Jesus Christ is crowned with glory and honor because he did not call the 12 legions of angels. He suffered death. He tasted death for us all. He teaches us that we don't have to have this defensive attitude. We don't have to always be on edge that our rights and our dignities and our possessions be kept intact. Okay? You don't have to see to it that every insult gets repaid, you know, every odd gets evened, every offense, okay? Go and learn what this means. We forgive our debtors. Consider the Lord Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinful men on our behalf. And let the Spirit of God revive you and encourage your soul. Let's pray.
Thank you.
Abba, Father, we lift up the name of the Lord Jesus. He is worthy of all dignity and honor and praise because he lowered himself all the way down from heaven to earth, made in the likeness of a servant, became obedient even to the despicable death of the cross, allowed himself to be beaten and spit upon and insulted and destroyed for our sake. He yielded to you. And we pray, Father, that you would instill in us the same spirit of humility, that we would trust in you, that we would look to you for our salvation. From whence cometh my help? Not from myself, it comes from the maker of heaven and earth. Father, we pray for each other right now. We pray for our brothers and sisters who are around us, that you would help us to understand your will in this matter and to have the spiritual fortitude, the meekness, the trust in you, Lord God, to do as you have instructed, so that your name might be praised. Father, we know that you will reward everyone according to what they have done. And we put our spirits, our bodies, our possessions in your hands. We praise you forever and ever, Lord God Almighty. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.